CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are live. Let's do this. Guys, are you just check that we are actually live this morning? Because I don't know if we've even got...
I don't know what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's like it's all a little bit confusing. But we are in the studio in Johannesburg, and the studio in Johannesburg looks pretty devoid of life. I mean, I'll give you a quick look around. We're sitting on the floor,
by
the way.
They haven't even given me a chair today.
Look at this. No, neither do I. I don't have a chair either. Let me show you around here quickly. All right, yeah. So there's Pumi. All right, she's sitting on the floor. We got the door there. That horrible old leather sofa is still there. The shelf is empty. There's a ring light there. There's some chairs with my bags on them. And this is it. This is what we got. This is the studio for this morning.
This is it. Oh.
Okay, so what we're doing here is we are we're doing the last show ever from the studio.
I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. This place has been our home for almost 9 years, and we're clearing out today. Everything. The plants, the wallpaper, the furniture, the people, we're all clearing out.
It's surreal. It's surreal.
It's wacky.
Remember so clearly. And so this is the thing, right? The elasticity of time. Because I remember so damn clearly. I think it was 2 days before you went live on Comedy Central that we were here and everything was set up, and it was a little bit different to this, guys, besides the fact that there were chairs. But it was like bright and shiny new studio.
I know.
And all the cameras.
Yeah.
All the cameras for the live on Comedy Central.
I think we had about 6 cameras in here. Yeah. And there was one outside for the audience. We were live. It was a live satellite TV show, which was the first time I think anyone done that. And we were broadcasting from here, which only because, you know, Devesh, who was kind of running most of telemedia at that stage, he said to us, you have to come here because we've got to do the satellite thing and we can't do it.
Because of the link.
Correct. We can't do it any other way and it has to be live. And we were confused as hell because we thought, all right, well, we know radio, but we don't know TV.
Also because you'd done your TV show. And you're not in love with TV.
Oh,
you've done the first iteration.
You were one of the executive producers on that.
And you weren't really sold on TV. Mm-mm. You're still not.
No, still don't like it. No, done.
But look what I think. It's been incredible. This has been so much fun, and an incredible journey. I think for a lot of people, for those who've been on the journey in the studio, listening and coming in and out of the studio, it was crazy. And I actually am so excited for the new place because the new place, I think it, after the COVID kind of,
yeah,
the new place, all the space that's there, an amazing pool.
Energy. It's just like, and people want events. People want real life stuff. And that's also what we're going to build in, you know, not just for Cliff Central, but for our clients, a whole bunch of things that we're going to be doing there. So
I do think people want live events.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning. So over the weekend, there was Gregory Porter. For those of you who don't know, he's a jazz musician.
You posted something yesterday on your Instagram.
I did. But over the weekend, he was at Kirsten Bosch.
Mm.
Bona. I think there was a charter flight for all the Joburgers, Leica of things, because everybody on social media, and Kirsten Bosch is an amazing venue, you know, like the lights in the distance, the stage, and you're in the picnic and all of that wonderful stuff. And it just lends itself to all of the, like the FOMO and the envy of I'm not there. And Gregory Porter is, for me, a very exciting sound, right? Because nobody writes, and I was saying to a friend of mine the other day, I like R&B, I'm that girl, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no new kind of R&B music or artists.
It feels like it almost stopped somewhere in the late 90s.
It did. Like that is like the golden age. And then Gregory and jazz too, right? Yeah. It's kind of stagnated.
I've never understood jazz. So.
It's okay. You'll grow up.
One day.
And also, like, jazz also went through a bit of a, you know, post Miles Davis kind of, there's some jazz musicians, but it's also kind of, and Gregory Porter with his voice and musicality and storytelling. It was like, it's like nostalgic, but new and fresh. So it was so exciting. But what I saw is how excited people are to go out again,
yeah,
to be at a party, absolutely, to be with other people, to be, the energy. So I can't wait for those parties.
Well, it's going to happen. And we're going to lead the way. And I think this is the exciting thing. So we're on the floor for those people who are joining in now, because, you know, some people start the show on time and sometimes we don't.
today we did. Yeah, guys.
For everybody who kind of didn't see the introduction, and we're sitting on the floor here, Pumi and I, literally on the floor. Check, Pums. There she is sitting. So
it's like a picnic. So I'm getting a little bit of that, because what it felt like to be in Kirstenbosch.
Yeah, we wanted to move all the stuff we didn't absolutely need out of the studio, and we're ready to go. I mean, there used to be wires coming out of the floor here. They've all been taken out. They've been moved to the new place. The desk that we sat at is going to be moving. Well, it's already there. It's in situ in the new place. So it's all happening. And I just want to congratulate Ryan and Homo Lemo and Simpiwe this morning for making it really work in this funny little room, which used to be our studio, which was the center of all of the stuff we did. And the new studio will be the center of all the stuff we do on that side. But look what they did. They also gave us a little ice bucket with some
mimosa,
champagne, and some orange juice. So I can pour one of those for you now, Pumi.
The kind of thing one needs when they're moving. A mimosa in the morning.
You can open this. There we go. Pums is going to open the champers. I'll open the orange. Because we can drink in here now. There are no rules anymore. There's nothing to destroy.
We're not going to drop it on the studio.
Exactly. And it's the last show from this place, which I think is quite historic, because the number of people who've been through this studio, you know, the good, the great, the powerful, the crazy, the dangerous, all of that.
Hey, Wena.
Yeah,
so
see what
let me think,
today.
Is this cold enough?
We're going to go for it anyway.
Not to... Pella, it can't spill on me. I still have a whole day of work.
Do you want me to open it?
Whoop, whoop.
Well done, Pumi. Nice job. All right, let me pour those for you. All right, we're going to do this if it kills us. So we got the burning platform this morning as well, which...
Congo Chris says, pour them both in the bucket and drink it out of the bucket.
Savage animal.
No matter what you think, I'm still a lady.
So, I mean, you know, again... I don't want to do too much of the nostalgia stuff because it doesn't really suit me and I'm not nostalgic. And it's just, it's been a great place to do what we've been doing. And it's been the most incredible, like, multifaceted venue, because people have come in and out here and, you know, they've been all kinds. Mm. I mean, I'll never forget the first week that we did shows from here. There were 1,000 people lined up down the street for auditions. And people don't do that anymore. I don't know what people would audition for anymore. They certainly don't do that for idols anymore. But they were all trying to get shows, right? And we had a drunk guy come in who wanted to do a show, and we found out he was a dental technician, but he was already drunk at like 6:30 in the morning.
Oish.
So we gave him a show, and it lasted about 5 minutes. He has a very big glass with there we go. Cheers, Pums.
It's off the camera. Times. Nobody can see us like.
Oh, cheers.
But did you hear that? We actually did it. Clink, clink.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That is the way to start your morning. Holy shit. All right.
Oh, always.
Hey, Gareth. We are landscape architects based in Salt Rock. Happy to do a concept for your garden. Give it back to you. Thank you. That's really sweet of you. I must tell you, the gardens that we've got are magnificent already. Like little bonsai trees all over the place, a little amphitheater. There's a swimming pool, like a secret garden. It is.
It's beautiful. You walk through a secret garden.
Signet says, it is Puzza Thursday.
Correct. Ricky Lowe says, I remember there was like a whole week of shows throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I loved the Casper show. Yes.
And Casper
and
show.
His shirts.
Well, I mean, a lot of those people we've had back and forth here over the last while because, you know, they're still part of our lives. The Cliff Central family keeps expanding. And
a lot of those people are now very famous influencers too.
Absolutely. I mean, before we'd given them shows, no one had thought to give Somi Z, Tumi Morake, who else? Brett Lindekue. All of those people, they didn't have shows before we put them on. And we decided these people are talented. They need shows. So we gave them their own runway and they flew.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all been lots of fun. So a couple of other comments in here we'll get to in a minute. Just pour them both into the bucket. Oh, that's what you told me about, Chris. So, yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I'm really, really enthusiastic about where we're going. We'll give you, obviously, once we're on that side, the tour. But I thought it would be fun to do the last show ever from here before the moving van comes.
I'm so glad to be at the last show ever.
Yeah, this is appropriate, right? It's appropriate. I mean, out of everybody here, with the exception of Rena, I've worked with Pumi the longest. I've known you the longest.
I'm a proper day one, y'all.
Yeah.
Day one. Yeah, in the studio.
Yeah, you and Muzi Kuzwayo, actually,
are like the
oldest friends we've had in this building. So there are things we're going to leave behind, which I'm not even that sad about because it's time for something new.
What's getting left behind?
Well, the walls with all the signatures on.
Yeah,
that you can't take with
you.
So
there is a wall. Most people have seen it on all sorts of social medias. People mm-hmm. with everybody's signature. Everybody who's Everyone. Ever been through here, there's a signature on the wall. That is, are we at least taking pictures of the wall?
We've taken a video and we've taken a whole lot of pictures. So there's lots.
So this is also the really cool thing about moving and starting out. I personally hate moving.
No, everybody does. Because they say it's one of the most stressful and traumatic things people can go through.
Yeah, it is quite traumatic. But the exciting thing about moving is newness.
Mm.
It is newness. It's the energy of being in a new place, getting to learn new rituals. Because it's also like it's driving here has become a particular ritual. So we drive here and we take a picture of the sunrise. At the different sunrises as the seasons come and go. And now driving to a new place turns on different neural pathways.
Exactly. And you have to do that. Otherwise you get old and comfortable and you become more and more of the boring old man in the corner. Never let the old man in. No, I think it's great that we've got a team here that can handle this kind of change and that are ready for the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that counts. Hey, by the way, Ryan and Simpiwe and Homolemo come in here and finish the rest of this mimosa.
Yeah, because
yeah,
we've also got the burning platform coming, so we have to be a little bit sober.
Absolutely. Moonchild says, all the best for your new studios. New beginnings, always a good thing. And then Congo Chris being quite sentimental here. Congratulations on completing this chapter of your journey. Excited to walk into the next run with you guys. I want to thank you and for your laughs and the memories onwards and upwards. So aww. I posted, Rena posted a picture yesterday of her and I carrying the sign away, right? And a whole bunch of people obviously thought, oh, what does this mean? They're shutting down shop, which obviously we're not shutting down shop.
Are we going to see a headline in one of the newspapers?
Watch, because you know how stupid the press are, right? They'll get it wrong. But that's part of that sign's coming with us as well. So Ricky also wants to know, is tomorrow's show from your new premises or from home? So exciting story. Monday we will be doing a live show. We've got one of our clients is doing a big reveal and we will be doing a breakfast there and a whole lot of stuff. So Monday's show will be live from there, but not from the new studio, which is going to take a few more days to wire and get everything going in. Yeah, yeah. Come and grab some of this and tell those other two to get in here as well. The Friday show tomorrow, we're going to have to do like remote because there's still so much going on.
Jeez.
So it's kind of half of it will be on that side from a streaming point of view, but the other half will be at my house, and then the other half will be at, you know, wherever Simpiwe is at. And
so all three halves will mm-hmm. be live from somewhere.
All three halves. That's like when Jennifer Lopez said, I am 100% Puerto Rican and 100% the Bronx. You're like, oh, so you're 200%. Okay, great. You're more than the average person.
Oh, Jenny from the block.
Yeah, correct. All right, you want to look at some news?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, first story in the news this morning. South Africa doesn't have an Eskom problem. We have an ANC problem, says the DA. So here's a little clip of the DA march, which was through Johannesburg, and there was one in Cape Town. I think there was one in Durban as well. Listen, as far as marches goes, this is the best the DA has ever done.
Hey, there was a sea of blue on Bree Street yesterday.
Right. So, I mean, congratulations to them. They're not the marching kind of people, if you ask me, but they did this. Look at this.
Current situation at Bree Street JHB. Luthuli House.
Look at that.
Sea of blue.
Yeah. So quite impressive.
It reminded me a little bit of, I've told you guys about the marches that COSATU used to have out there where it would just be a sea of red.
Do you remember those
down.
When COSATU was still a thing? They used to do proper marches.
Yo.
Yeah. Those don't happen anymore.
Those don't happen anymore, no.
Well, the DA managed to get a march going because people are so chatful of Eskom. But then the ANC Youth League, whatever they're worth these days.
I also saw them getting ready. They were all 10 of them.
They had a counter march, all 10 of them. How if you told me back in 2010, 2011, that one day there'll be a blue DA march through the center of Johannesburg with thousands of people, and there'd be 10 ANC Youth League people marching in the opposite direction, I'd say to you, you're smoking something. Right? Shows you how this country, you can never predict what happens.
I know Pumlani also wants to talk about it, so I'll reserve my comment.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that
for
later
the second
on.
Half.
But the ANC Youth League said, why are you marching in Luthuli House when the problem is at Eskom? And they're going to organize a march to Eskom. But
there is a march being organized to Eskom. I see on Twitter there's a very active Twitterista who mm-hmm. seems, and I've now seen him on mainstream media on a couple of.
Ah, here's the team.
Let's yay!
Just, these people.
Come sit
come
next
over here,
to
guys.
Me.
Yeah. Cling, come, cling. Pull in.
Simpiwe!
There's Simpiwe. There's Ryan. There's Homolemo.
Drinking mimosas out of coffee
cheers,
cups.
Yes. Well, yeah. Like, that's how you do it.
This is what we got. We look like Squatan is this morning drinking on the street.
No champagne cups.
All right, very nice.
Champagne
right, so,
doesn't go in cups, Ryan.
Yeah, no, it does this morning. This morning. Listen, all rules are suspended for today.
Place. Yeah,
the rules are done. So look, I think that it's good that people march. I'm never going to be a marcher. I didn't join any of the.
Oh,
Zuma must go.
We had them
Zuma
here. They came to the studio too. They came to the
Zuma grannies. They were here.
The
yeah.
Zuma grannies came here. I've been to a march.
What was it for?
Maybe two.
What was it for?
So a couple of years ago, there was a big feminist march.
Ooh.
Against anti-GBV to send a memorandum to the president about kind of something's got to give, something's got to give march. And marches are like that, right? Marches are, I've seen a lot of people going, why are they marching? What does it do? Marches also are action, right? Is they give lots of various individuals an opportunity to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you write your list of demands, mm-hmm. and you know, it's momentum. It creates a momentum, but there has to be a concerted post effort, and it's the organizers. You know, kudos always to organizers. Like I was saying, there's a @Kustas is his Twitter handle, and he's been kind of mobilizing to kind of get people on the 2nd of February, a march to Eskom with, you know, and they've got, I saw their little memorandum with the list of demands, and there's short term and midterm.
Okay.
You know, they're like, and It's good. It's good because it is, it's active, right? It's also about an active citizenry. It's about showing the number of people who are angry about the particular issue, who are passionate about the issue and who are willing. And that show of force is supposed to scare the politicians.
Yeah.
Right? Because it says to them, it demonstrates to them the number of individuals that are against them. And correct. That's what's, you know, because they want people to be with them. In order to be a politician in power, people must vote for you. And if people are angry at you and mobilizing and out in the streets, it's supposed to scare you because you're supposed to see that this number of people is against me. How likely am I to win?
Mm, absolutely. Carl says, I don't mean to sound like a typical what person, but there were no reports of violence, looting, theft, destruction. If you still think there's no alternative, you need to remove your head from your ass. Okay, well, you know what? I mean, again, I'm just going to say, when did the DA become cool enough to be able to get people to march in their colors? Which is quite something. And all of those people are not given like sandwiches and free bus trips like so many people at so many rallies in this country where, you know, you do it because you're just unemployed and you have nothing to do. You think they were?
Of course they were. Okay, well, of course they were.
See, I wouldn't know how to organize this.
You can't, a friend of mine put it very succinctly by saying you can't fill stadiums or marches with conviction alone.
Okay. Yeah, I'm learning things. You see, again, there needs to I'm not a marcher. I wouldn't know how to organize this.
Organizing this thing, you've got to get people on buses to a certain particular place to get everybody there on time. There's a lot of organization that goes into it. But it's, for me, it's fantastic to see them mobilize people in this way. And I hope that part is fantastic. See them mobilize people in this way.
Great.
Get people to come out. It's an opportunity for them to spread their message, to change people's minds. I mean, I did see reports late because Rob Herzog was there in a DA t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
He got a podium. He got to go on the podium. And I saw a News 24 report, you know, I don't know how verified it is, but it is News 24, that some of the DA leaders are unhappy with the fact that the crowd was chanting Viva Rob Herzog or something of that. And well, you know, I did see Rob Herzog trending and not DA March.
Oh, wow.
Trending. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and these
well,
are.
Well, it's all a country, it's a country of personalities, and the DA's got to ask themselves, if, you know, someone who's got lots and lots of money has made a lot of noise in the media, like Rob has, if he's getting more attention than your political leaders, maybe your political leaders need to learn to lead a little bit more publicly. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's got more character and conviction, or maybe the DA's out of ideas.
But you know what that reminded me of?
Maybe people just like Rob Herzog as well. I hear from people all the time. And, you know, I know Rob. He's a terrific guy. I think in his way, he is doing the very best he can to move South Africa forward. And I think everybody who wants to move South Africa forward should be given a place to do so. And we should support them. We all want the same thing at the end. We want the country to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, it's very
good. But you know, it did remind me of that report. Mm. Do you remember when there was a DA march organized at the Randburg Court, Magistrates Court, when Duduzane Zuma was going to be appearing in court, and all those girls, when he came, all the girls in the DA t-shirts went to get selfies with him. They all saw him come out, and they were
have you forgotten why you're here?
Selfies. which again, you know, that's, you can't fill marches with conviction. Mm-hmm. You have to, there's another way that you've got to incentivize people to show up.
All right, well, here's another story that you might be interested in. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development is looking to amend the Constitution. Why? They want to make sign language the 12th official language of the country.
It's not?
No, and I got to say, this is all symbolic, guys. Can we just, you know, let's grow up about this, honestly. I mean, I'm all for sign language being given its dues and people paying attention to the deaf community and all of that stuff. But my God, do we really need to now include sign language in every state document? Because
that's
what it means.
Alman, include sign language in every state document. How do you include sign language in a document?
That's my problem. And they'll find a way, trust me.
Braille.
Well, I mean, the written word can be read, so I suppose that kind of obviates that problem. But they're going to try in every, you know, like, we've all become used to the person on the TV who does
but
the
But do
sign
you know in. That we were actually the first country in the world to normalize that ahead of the 1994 elections? That's
really?
That's when we started having, and I met a lady who was one of the people who were the campaigner for getting that. Because, look, one of the things that our very first election did was get everybody on board. Because remember, we had to teach a lot of people how to vote.
Right. What it actually was.
What to expect. And getting all of those people included meant looking at all of the and this is the thing about South Africa that I don't think we appreciate enough, that we know how to include everybody when and if we want.
Okay, so what?
So now, even just, you know, you say the little person on the side of the screen, that's just how we are now. There are many people who come to this country, and when they see that, it's the first time ever that they see such a thing. You see them with parliamentary proceedings. You see them on the news. We have fake ones.
Remember the fake one at Mandela's funeral? Yes, that guy who was just making shit up to be on TV. All right, look at this. Here's the story, right, as it is. So Ronald Lamola, who's the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, he said the 18th Amendment Bill is going to be published or has been published already for public input. He said the Amendment Bill aims to advance the cultural acceptance of sign language and deaf culture. It's now a culture. The Constitution's 18th Amendment Bill seeks to give people who are deaf or hard of hearing human dignity and equal protection and benefit of the law, blah, 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 blah. It was hoped that by including it as an official language, it would promote inclusivity and equality and prevent discrimination on the grounds of disability. All great. Very nice. I'm not really moved by this like you are, Pums, so let's just move on. Because, you know, I think a lot of it is just pandering.
That's because you can hear.
No, but I think a lot of it's pandering. Of course I can hear, and I don't really care about the deaf community as much because we're an audio medium, for God's sake. I've never, during my whole radio career, I wasn't particularly interested in the deaf people. I'll be honest with you. So, yeah, that's part of it.
And Amazon, I'm judging you for it.
Yeah, I'm judge away. Amazon strikes have been happening all over. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
So Amazon workers are staging the first ever UK strike on Wednesday against an online giant, the online giant, in a protest over pay. Around 300 staff walked out of their Coventry warehouse because they're not getting the rise in pay that they wanted. They told the BBC about severe conditions, claiming they're constantly monitored and abraded for idle time lasting just a few minutes. They said they have a system that recognizes great performance. A spokesman said it also encourages coaching to help employees improve if they're not meeting their performance goals. So Amazon taking watching your employees to a whole new level.
Dude, there's a documentary on YouTube about this. The world is crazy, guys. I know as South Africans, we kind of are a little bit tempered to how crazy can be, right? But that Amazon documentary, people who like sleep in their vans in the parking lot because of the changes in their shifts, but also because they don't earn enough to actually have a proper place to stay because housing is so expensive in the States. Listen, shit. The whole thing is a shit show, but it's scary, and
you know, working in tech was what everyone wanted to do about 10 years ago. It was all anyone spoke about. And I went to Silicon Valley, and you saw these offices. I mean, I went to the new Facebook
campus. Shiny offices.
They had just moved.
20 serials.
Talking about moving. So Facebook had just moved to their new campus.
To the campus.
Which was phenomenal. And I looked at the old school telephone booths and couches everywhere and people having drinks and people sitting at the restaurants. They had about
10 cereals.
Oh, are you kidding? 10, they had 10 different cafeterias that people could go to that were all like branded, and you know, you can go to Mexican today, you can go Colombian tomorrow, you could go Chinese on Thursday, whatever you wanted to do. And there were hardly any people doing any work, but that was just an observation. And I thought, well, this is the leading edge of how employment's going to go. And I think anyone who was in tech 10 years ago would have considered themselves lucky, because they would have been earning big money. They would have had the easiest working conditions of all. Now, it is a, as you put it, shit show. It's not so easy. People are being laid off in their thousands.
12,000 people at where?
Facebook.
Microsoft?
Facebook.
All
of them. Twitter, the lot. All being just chased out of there. No space for all of you guys. Sorry. So, I don't know whether this is the best.
Speaking of working in tech, there's an Economist article that I saw a couple of days ago. You all know how obsessed I am with ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this article talks about all the training, the pre-training that they did before, because now they're in beta testing, as everybody knows. So, but you've got to train the AI even before you give it, you open it up to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, again, speaking of working conditions, this article is about all of the young IT kind of and graduates in Kenya, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
That were at some point earning like $2 an hour for 12-hour shifts in order to train this thing and kind of sensitize it to become what we are now exposed to. It was very hectic.
Do you think that in South Africa, people work long hours. You know, people who, security guards and people like that. Do you think that we would complain if we were in Britain working for Amazon? Because people also like to say, you know, Jeff Bezos is this evil warlord who runs this, you know, Machiavellian malevolent empire, and that everything there is just so horrible for the workers.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You hear people from all over the world talk about why South Africans are so desired
mm-hmm.
to come and work there, right?
And
the first thing that they talk about is work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of us here in South Africa know, like go to a bank, it doesn't matter if it's private or public, but we all complain about how shocking service can be and how everybody's just, and to hear people from around the world say the work ethic of South Africans.
Yeah, you're like, what? Are you even dealing with the same people we are?
So I don't know if we would complain. I don't think so. People that are shelf packers at Checkers, for instance, right? You don't even see those people when you're walking past. Because even though they're there, you don't even kind of recognize that they're there. You just like look past them. I think those people, probably their working conditions are the same if not worse than Amazon. Yeah.
And except they don't have any world famous billionaire to complain about.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know how seriously to take this. And then finally, I thought you might like this story. A guy called Justin Roiland, who is one of the creators of Rick and Morty, has been dropped from US TV channel Adult Swim. He's preparing to defend himself over charges of domestic violence against his ex-girlfriend. So, of course, Rick and Morty is one of the most popular shows on TV. People love it. It's hilarious. It's crazy. It's a little bit out of left field. And for some people, way too much of that. He voices the title characters, though.
So really?
Without having him, you're not going to have Rick. And you're not going to have Morty.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how they're going to carry on with the show. They said the show would go on without him for its seventh season, with his roles reportedly to be recast. He denies the charges. A trial date has not been set. So apparently, a statement released on Tuesday said Adult Swim has ended its association with Justin Roiland. Rick and Morty will continue. The talented and dedicated crew are hard at work on season 7. But without him, will it work?
Rick and Morty is a little bit like a adult Pinky and the Brain.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I first saw it, I was just like, is this like a reincarnation of Pinky and the Brain? But I wonder how they're going to recreate the voice. Because the thing about animated characters is more than just what they do. It's how they sound as well as what they say. So if he's the voice of the main one.
Yeah, I mean.
And everybody's voice is different.
And Rick has this very weird way of talking where he burps every now and then as well. So I don't know how they're going to find someone who can do that. Anyway, he's 42 years old. So prosecutors in California have charged him with 2 charges of domestic battery, with corporal injury and false imprisonment by menace, violence, fraud, and or deceit of an unidentified woman who was living with him at the time.
Unidentified.
Yeah, police complaints said that the incident, which occurred on the 19th of January, resulted in a traumatic condition for the woman. His lawyer said in a statement he was innocent, saying, "We look forward to clearing his name, helping him move forward as swiftly as possible." So again, we have to ask the question, these days you are judged on everything all at once and sometimes nothing all at once. It depends on who you know, what your position is, what your politics are, and how much the internet likes you or dislikes you. And I mean, someone like the creative Rick and Morty, you'd think would be popular enough to be able to carry on doing what they were doing. I mean, Michael Jackson was accused of God knows what during his career. I still bought and listened to his music all the time. If this guy is a real shithead and he treats his girlfriend really badly, but I love Rick and Morty, why must we be prevented from having him exercise his talents? Because everyone is virtue signaling how good they are the whole time.
So the good thing, the good thing about the world we live in now is anybody can have a platform. You don't need a big studio.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing.
Sometimes.
I think it's a good thing because it allows the people, it allows true freedom of association. Right? So he can have his own new thing, wherever. Look at it, it's kind of like Cliff Central, right? So when you came to a place where traditional radio and the station you were on at the time no longer fit in with what you were seeking. This is what you built.
Yeah.
And you could.
Okay. Again, I'm going to go to the point of he may behave like a real shit in his real life. And he may be horrible to his girlfriend. It's not my problem. I'm not interested. I'm sorry if
but
he's a shit
person. But
that's
why I'm saying he can create a whole new thing without these people. Because he's tethered to Adult Swim.
Well, I'm sure they own the concept now. They probably own the show.
Well, that's in 2023, people are still creating content and just giving it over to people.
Selling for lots of money.
Then he sold it.
Again, I'm not feeling sorry for him, but I'm also not really moved by his personal behavior. You don't know what people are doing in their personal lives, and it shouldn't have anything to do with what they do in their professional lives. There should be at least some adult behavior around this. Like, the adult thing to do is to say, all right, well, if you get thrown in jail as a criminal, and that hasn't happened yet, by the way, there are not even charges being laid yet. He has not been charged yet, right? We don't know the details of these charges, but it seems that the prosecutors are playing around with the idea at the moment. And in the meantime, Adult Swim are trying to look good by going, we're separating ourselves from
you. I think one of the things that also happens a lot around things like this is people have been wanting to get rid of you and haven't had a reason.
And they wait.
And this kind of is an easy reason to just go, listen, dude, you've got problems. We don't want to be associated with those problems. Thank you and goodbye.
Well, he looks a bit like Ryan, who works for us. Look at that guy. All right, just back to the language thing. I got an interesting message here from somebody saying, are there more deaf people than there are Greek people or German South Africans? I wonder what the statistic is, because if there are less deaf people than Germans or whatever in South Africa, then we should rather make German an official language than sign language. I mean, just on the numbers.
Interesting.
Why not? It's a good idea, right? I mean, if we're going to, let's just go all the way. Let's say just we're a country where every language is official. Because we're trying to sound like we're nice to everybody. Anyway, it irritates me when people make special things
like this
happen for the deaf community, because all they're really doing, they're not doing it for the deaf community. They're doing it so that they can look good. Same as Adult Swim doing it to fire this guy so they can look good. It's got nothing to do with it.
I recently did some work with a German foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they supported one of the projects that we've been working on. And it was fascinating for me as we were doing all of this work. All the documentation they send is in English and German. Mm-hmm. So their style guide for when you do like your posts and all of that was English and German.
Nice.
Their guidelines around reporting and governance, lots of reporting and governance, English and German. So I think, you know, I thought to myself, this is because, well, it's a foundation. So it is private, but it is a German foundation. And so this is for them, their official languages, because they're in South Africa, the official language they have that is one of our languages is English.
Which foundation is it?
We went to Germany with Friedrich Naumann. Their documents.
The Stiftung. Okay, so is it true? Because somebody told me this a couple of years ago, and I actually never looked it up to see if it is true or not. So go ahead, audience, fact check us on this if you can. But that we have, I think, the largest German concentration in the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, really?
In South Africa. Well, it's the largest population of Germans outside of Germany in the Southern Hemisphere here in South Africa. That's what I heard.
More than Namibia?
That's what I heard. And I was thinking with South America, there's quite a lot of Germans in Argentina and Chile. But maybe if you know better than me, then correct me.
Wow.
But that's what I heard. Because we do have German schools in Pretoria and Joburg and in Cape Town. And in, oh, there are five?
Hermansburg?
Where the hell is Hermansburg?
You know, we actually, so,
where is
Muzi Kuzwayo, whom I work with?
Where is Hermansburg?
has a very interesting concept of doing a photo diary called Little Germany, because there's so many towns here in South Africa that are the same as German, like German names.
Hold
right?
on a second. You've just taught me something. Hermansburg is a hamlet in South Africa. It's located in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, home to the Hermansburg School. Wow, Pumi, you've taught me something here. I didn't even know this place existed. It's right in the middle of KZN. Like right in the middle. If you had to draw a map of KZN, it would be spot on in the middle. And it's based on Hermansburg in Germany. They've got a school. They've got a Lutheran congregation there. Wow, look at this. This is quite something. It was started in, what, the 1800s? I didn't even know this place existed. You learn something new every day. Hermansburg. You're teaching me things. Surely Argentina has a larger German population, says Congo. Chris, you shouldn't use the word German and concentration in the same sentence, Karen. Brisbane has a crazy number of Germans, but they call Somerset West Somerset West because we have so many Germans here. On small business shopfront windows, they have "Wir sprechen Deutsch." Yeah, okay. There we go.
Jawohl. Here's another interesting thing. At the end of last year, I met the German ambassador to South Africa, and he speaks Zulu.
Oh, wow.
Which he learned at university in Germany. He speaks very good Zulu.
That's useful. Hey, I'll tell you what. If you want to be a politician, learn
Wuppertal in Cederberg. See?
Wuppertal? Another place I've never
That's
heard
Jay.
Of.
That's Jay. That's hanging out
Wuppertal?
With
Wuppertal? You're joking. No, man. Come on. Wuppertal and Hermansburg. Look at me getting a geography lesson.
Listen,
I thought I knew my own country.
We have got towns in this country like Stutterheim.
Again, where the hell's that? Stutterheim. Where's that? In the Eastern Cape?
In the Eastern Cape.
Okay, yeah. Sounds like it should
Stutterheim.
Be. Stutterheim. My God. You see, we do have lots of Germans around here. Okay. So this is fascinating, but let's just quickly go back to the news for a second.
So I'm sitting.
What?
Are you, even the clock is down, guys.
Yeah, the
There's
down.
No clock here, so I don't even know.
It's
I've
quarter,
lost
quarter
all
to
track
seven,
of time.
It's quarter to seven, if you're wondering about that. All right, so when you were at this Gregory Porter concert.
Yes.
The clapping, did it? Because.
Wait.
You want
to
make.
Okay, I have to paint a picture for you. So You, because you don't listen to jazz. I take it you've never been to a jazz concert.
No, hell no, I'd die.
Here in Joburg, there are, you would not die.
I'd be so
bored. In Joburg, there are two, and jazz is quite a big genre here, right? There's
huge.
Lots of jazz enthusiasts. Huge. That's why we have a Joy of Jazz festival. But there's also two types of jazz listeners, right? They're like the older, people who are like serious about their jazz.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of young-ish people who are groovers, you know, like, because jazz is also a bit of a groove.
Sure.
And then there are white people who listen to jazz, and they are older, and they are serious about their jazz.
Mm.
And the way so listening to jazz is also a different kind of experience. It's not like there's no golden circle where people are standing around in front of the stage, because it's not that kind of experience, right? And lots of chairs, everybody's sitting down kind of. But you can dance, you can stand up and dance in the moment. And Gregory, because of the kind of music that he is, had a part of his set where he asked everybody to clap in a rhythm. You know, so clap in a rhythm. So, and there was, in my line of sight, an older white gentleman with long hair, but like a serious jazz listener.
Mm.
And this clapping, this guy was, you could see his face. He actually like turned to watch the audience because he couldn't like get the, how is everybody in this audience clapping to this rhythm within seconds of being taught the rhythm? Because like, it's a little bit like dancing, right? It's difficult to, like, for a lot of people who don't have that kind of rhythm, to clap to it. It's like watching a weird white person dance.
Okay.
Watching this guy kind of having the visceral experience of everybody in this audience, and also black people sing along in concerts, like the whole everybody, because actually we have paid you to come and be on the stage and accompany us singing your songs. Jeez.
You're putting me off jazz more and more. Keep talking. Like, the likelihood of me going to a jazz concert has just dropped to like 10%.
This poor guy's kind of like cognitive dissonance of this rhythmic everybody all at the same time.
I get both. I get like the people who go to a show just to hear those people that they've listened to recordings of live, and they don't want any disturbance. They actually don't give a shit if everyone else in the audience dies while the concert's going on, because they want to hear the musician themselves. I get that. I'm sometimes like that with certain musicians. And I think at classical concerts, that's how you want it to be. It's not about you enjoying yourself. It's really not. Why must people always make it about them? Right? Always. They it's always me, 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 me.
It's like, the human experience.
I get it. And I mean, I'm also sometimes those people. So on the one hand, I get the like serious aficionados. And on the other hand, I get like people go there, they drink, they're there to party with their friends, they hear the live music, they see the other people around them, it's all about the crowd. And actually, it didn't matter in those situations who was on stage either.
Mm.
So you vacillate between these two things. And I think that if you go to a concert, you've got to be open to whatever happens.
You've got to be in it. You've got... Look, I think music is the last real magic that we actually have access to. Like, because it transports you to a place. It can move you. I just saw a video about skin orgasms. You know, when you hear.
Is that what they call it? Yeah. A skin orgasm.
Yeah. You know, when the hairs on the back of you, like the hairs on your body stand, this like, visceral reaction to someone singing or a piece of music, or people feel like that also about opera. That's what it is, right? And the magic of, and I've been to a lot of jazz concerts, and one of the things that I find a lot of, particularly the Black American artists, don't expect when they come here is how big the hearts of the audiences are here. And how engaged the audience is in all of their music. I mean, just the wall of sound of when the chord starts the song and everybody kind of responds and when he starts singing and everybody's singing along and the rhythm is all in Czech. And it's just, I think for them, it's also a little bit of a magical experience.
Well, here, Super Jacob Zuma says, we call them jazz holes, the type of musicians that stop a whole show to ask someone to talk softer at a dinner party because they're performing Face Blue Smiling. I recently found out, says Slippery Pickle, that if you play blues backwards, your wife remarries you, the bank gives you your house back, and your dog comes back to life.
Or at least that's how you feel, because it soothes you.
Oh, man. Sinonificent says, and that's almost the same reason why I can't watch any major blockbusters. People clapping and cheering to the actors, it pisses me off.
Hey, Wena, people are engaged. Yeah, all reality has been suspended.
But they also, it's all about them. Oh, by the way, Ryan says, I've got to remind you to send through voice notes for the show. So you can do that. You can send us voice notes. You know what to do. Just send them along to our WhatsApp number, which is 071-783-6214. We want to hear from you on the voice notes. But you do get what I mean. Like sometimes it's all just about them being hugely self-indulgent. And as you said just now, you actually put it into words. It's like we're paying you to come and entertain us while to accompany us while we have our entertainment. Yeah. Which, I mean, for some people in the audience, I did not come for the out-of-tune asshole standing next to me. You know what I mean? I get it. I get both sides. I really do. On this issue.
Stay home and play your records.
And most of those kind of people do. They don't like to go to concerts. Mm. But if they go to see someone live and there's some out-of-tune asshole standing next to them, it does mar their enjoyment of the whole thing.
Or get a box.
Yeah, or pay for the really expensive tickets up front and then let the poor people at the back scream and shout and make the noise, right? And
that's what you peanut gallery.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, there's also lots to talk about with the Birding Platform, which is coming up in a short while from now. We've got Pumlani Majozi who's going to join us for our last Birding Platform from the old studio where Pumi and I are sitting in a picnic. Having our last show.
Oh no, this is a very funny comment from Adri Padri. He says 30 Seconds to Mars. Mm. Been to two of their concerts, biggest karaoke show.
Yeah. Again, it's not my favorite thing. I get it, but no thank you. If I wanted to hear a whole bunch of people singing badly to something, I would just go to the nearest drunken bar at like 2 a.m.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
They're not singing it badly.
What, at drunken bars?
No, I don't go to drunken bars at the concert.
No, they are singing it badly. Trust me, I've heard it. Doesn't matter what style of music. And you jazz people, I've never... You're one of the jazz people. You jazz people I've never understood. I never will. Thabo Modisani tried his best to explain to me why Miles Davis is so great. He bought me all the albums that I could, my heart could desire. For like 4 or 5 years, I have about 6 of Miles Davis' albums. I've listened to a few of them. I like some of it. I won't lie, I don't like most of it. And I find any live jazz that I've ever seen, especially, and you know, forgive me, but most of the jazz that I've seen in person hasn't been concerts with greats like Gregory Porter. It's been the people who play in a hotel lobby.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And that is self-indulgent bullshit. Oh, dear. You cannot.
I was going to call Thabo. I forgot to call him. I thought I was going to call him yesterday because in Gregory's band, saxophone. So he's got saxophone, upright bass, grand piano, an organ. That's it. And
ready.
Him. That's wow. It. Which is like, you know, Nat King Cole kind of jazz ensemble. Mm-hmm. And the saxophonist was amazing, which reminded me of Thabo Modisani.
Yeah,
actually.
He can play the sax.
Yeah.
He never did play it for us, but he can play the sax. I only like 1950s jazz music, says Slippery Pickle. It's the type of thing I'd put on if the bombs start dropping.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. If you take any song, says Parallel Parking, remove the verses and choruses and just keep playing the bridge, then you have jazz. It's about right. Yes, good analysis. Congo Chris says most musicians are cuck live and more out of tune than their audience. Best person to go and watch live is Robbie Williams. He's the last of the proper showmen. I've seen better than Robbie Williams.
Mm.
I wouldn't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Jazz people are like those people who go to galleries and stare at some burnt stick and say, oh my gosh, I just had a skin orgasm.
Yes, hanging out with Jay.
It is pretentious for me. It is.
No.
Yes, it is.
But there is no way. There is no type of music that is pretentious. There is no type of music that is pretentious.
Really?
Really?
You don't think that the 14-minute drum solo in a Gotta Da Vida is not pretentious? What is it then?
If you love drums, then it's an exciting experience for you to watch that
it's
level of coordination. To watch that level of coordination in one person. It's art.
All right. Well, I've got to 45 years old without ever learning the value of jazz. I don't think I'm going to make it to, have that realization anytime in this life. But I wish those people who love jazz well. I mean, good for you, keep these jazz musicians out of my hair and keep them on stage in jazz concerts. I'm happy with that.
Rebellious Ruth says she's going to watch Sting. Wow.
Ooh. When is Sting coming here? Ruth, yeah, let us know. I don't know about that.
Those tickets were also sold out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would like to see Sting.
Yeah.
Sting would be fun.
I think it's the second time he's coming out here.
Been here before?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure about that, but there we go. Training Vam says, I agree with Gareth on jazz. Derek Barker says, I get a skin orgasm when I smash my leg into the countertop. Smash your leg into the countertop. I moan and moan and just can't control myself. God. I don't know why this camera keeps switching off. It's very annoying.
Yes,
Pumi, silly. I agree with you. I grew up listening to jazz. Okay, so Ruth has the same sophistication you do, Pums. Sting the wrestler or Sting the singer? I don't think anyone's going to see Sting the wrestler, but I didn't. You see, that's another thing. Like on the opposite end of the spectrum, they'll never call people who watch wrestling sophisticated, right? But I also don't get wrestling for the same reasons I don't get jazz. I just don't get it. You call me unsophisticated, but I also don't get wrestling. There is no amount of money you could pay me to go to wrestling or boxing. And there is no amount of money you could pay me to go to jazz.
Not even boxing.
Oh, not at all interested. Dreary.
If.
Not interested.
If we could wake a Muhammad Ali at his peak and a Mike Tyson at his peak for one all-out blow for blow, you wouldn't go to that?
No. I mean, like I understand why it would be amazing, but there are people – if you gave me those tickets, I would give them to someone who truly would like skin orgasm over them.
Oh.
Because I wouldn't. It would be a wasted thing. You know, someone offered me tickets recently to some big sporting event. And I said, no, rather give those to someone else. You know, one of our clients, I think it was, said to me, why don't you come? I've got these tickets to a Sevens thing in Cape Town or something. And I mean, it could have been fun, but I think I'd rather let someone who really appreciates that stuff have them. And I'd give you the tickets to the Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson.
Wasted
on me. Sting is in Cape Town 1-2-23 of what, February? Okay, yeah. And 4th or 5th of Feb in Gauteng. Okay, so he's doing 3 in Cape Town. Huh. 1-2 and then the 23rd. So, okay, so he goes to Cape Town, he does 2 concerts, then he comes up to Joburg, does 2 concerts. Then he takes a little holiday and then he goes and does his last one in Cape Town.
Probably goes to Sabi Sabi.
Yeah, what's the bet that last one in Cape Town's the one to book? That's the one to go to, right?
The tickets are sold out. They were this is the other thing about my Gregory Porter experience is the tickets were advertised and I saw it a day after they started advertising.
Those
the
sold
tickets,
like hotcakes.
A day after. Yeah. And they were sold out. When I went to go check online, the tickets were sold out. I was gutted. I never, ever call people to ask for tickets. I never. It's a thing.
Who did you, what favors did you pull?
I phoned a friend who was one of the organizers, the key organizers, to say, listen, dude, I need a ticket.
Yeah.
I need a ticket. Even if you give me the roster of the radio stations that are going to be running competitions for this
ticket. You need it.
The ticket, and he said to me, "Listen, we've got so they are client or
where was
sponsor
this the Joburg one?
At the Teatro,
okay, Monte Cassino."
And he said, "We're negotiating to add two extra dates. So everybody that went to the Monday show and the Tuesday show, we're the people that are going to get into heaven after the gates close because we were that lucky. We were that lucky." Even right. The guy sitting behind me at the concert was telling me he'd never heard of Gregory Porter and was like gone to fetch his bicycle at the guy who fixes the bicycle, and he was playing this music and he was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Who's this guy? And he downloaded all the music and then he saw that he was coming. And when he tried to get the tickets were sold out. And then he saw that there's going to be more tickets. Says he was up at midnight refreshing.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. All right. I'm going to throw this camera through the window as my last act in the studio. But before we do that, because it keeps switching itself off.
When we have the break, you must just check if it doesn't go to sleep.
No,
if it
hasn't I've been switched all that off. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We've got Pumlani Majozi joining us for the last Burning Platform from our studios. Pumi and I are picnicking on the floor with mimosas, and we're having a very, very nice, happy last show, talking a whole lot of nonsense. We want to hear from you. You can send us a message on the YouTubes. You can also send us a voice note, which you can do by WhatsApping it to 071-783-6214. We want to hear from you.
What is this? Kevin Hart is coming here and the tickets are 17,000 rand. Am I reading that
what?
Right? Am I reading that right?
17,000 rand? I think maybe the VIP where you get to meet him and
RK. Know,
like put your hand on his head or something.
Yay.
Okay. Well, if that's true, good for him. If Kevin Hart can sell a 17,000 rand ticket to somebody, good for him.
Yay.
All right. All of that and more on the way in the Burning Platform, which is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.